This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
DC for you. DC for you. DC for you. DC for you.
Well, Todd, it's been quite a summer already, and you know what summertime means.
Yes.
It's Comic-Con. It's Comic-Con season, baby.
Yes. Summertime, San Diego Comic-Con. People complaining about getting con crud the next day. God. Like, oh, poor you.
You know, that's the kind of thing that makes me feel good about being a miserable shut-in. I have no worries about catching other people's horrible diseases or, you know, having to worry about bumping into someone's very expensive cosplay and being told that I have to now pay for it now that it's broken. Because I am clumsy like that and would totally do that.
So. I'm just such not a Comic-Con person anymore. I used to really like the idea of them, and then I went to a Wizard World con and felt claustrophobic, and I don't know. I felt like I was missing things. So San Diego Comic-Con was once about the comics, and it hasn't really been about that for 20 years. It's more about the stuff that comes from the comics, the animated universes, the film universes, etc. I mean, it's got something for everyone, and hopefully that translates to comic sales, but it never really seems to.
Nan, movies and TV shows don't really seem to do much for the in-store comic sales. They just happen to cause the speculator market to boom for a minute. That's about as far as it goes, but it's exciting every single year, and that's what today's episode is going to be all about. We are wrapping up Comic-Con coverage from this year's San Diego Comic-Con, but you know, Todd, Marvel kind of gobbled up all the major headlines with their Phase 4 announcements.
They did, but this isn't Marvel for you. It's
no,
DC
it is not.
For you. We're not talking about Marvel. We'll let the hard-traveling fanboys talk about those on
their
show
this week. Yeah, they can totally have that. Like, we're not talking Marvel here. We're going to talk about the headlines that a lot of people probably missed, like all the cool DC stuff, because they played it a little low-key this year, didn't have any like big movie stuff happening. They skipped Hall H entirely. So, they stuck mostly to comic stuff, honestly, and some TV things in there too that were pretty big. I think we'll talk about that a bit later. But I think the first thing that we should mention is that DC's got a couple of big feathers that they can stick in their cap once again, as Tom King was announced as the best comics writer for his work on Batman, Heroes in Crisis, Mr. Miracle, and the Swamp Thing Winter Special.
Did they specifically say you won for all these things, or you're just a great writer in general, Tom?
I think they were giving it to him just great writer in general, but they listed everything that he was writing.
Okay. Well, he certainly deserved it for Mr. Miracle. I'll say that.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the one that he won for most notably, because his cohort on that book, Mitch Gerrits, also won for best artist or best penciler. And speaking of those two, they had a big announcement at Comic-Con.
What's the name of the book?
Strange Adventures is going to be launching. It's an Adam Strange. I'm going to say that it's probably a 12-issue series.
I believe it is. I believe I read that. Consistent with Vision and Mr. Miracle.
Yes. And it's also King and Garrett's back together, but they're bringing in Doc Shaner to help out on art duties with this one. We don't know anything about what this book is actually about or any kind of real details as to like release date or anything other than 2020. But even though I've been trying real hard not to buy any more comics, I don't know that I can resist the pull of this one, because this is a dynamite creative team that has yet to do me wrong.
Yeah. King Jareds are pretty darn good together. I like Doc Shaner and his retro style quite a bit. So looking forward to Strange Adventures. I think Adam Strange has kind of technically at an all-time high visibility. What do you think with Krypton?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Him being like a major player on Krypton. Yes, he is a major force on that show. I forget the actor that plays him, but he's real good. I really dig that version of Adam Strange. And, man, it's perfect timing to get a new comic for him out there. We've also seen him in a couple of other comics recently. He's popped up in Brian Bendis' Superman run. And, you know, it's a good time for Adam Strange. I think this is a time to really strike that iron while it's hot and make him a big character again. I mean, everybody's talking about Mr. Miracle right now, thanks to King and Jareds. I think they could easily do that for Adam Strange as well.
Yeah, good news.
Yeah, it is. That's fantastic news for all DC fans. Another bit of like cool news coming out of Comic-Con, which is also something that just appeared in this week's DC October solicitations, is that Brian Azzarello and absolutely wonderful artist Emanuela Lupacino are going to be launching a brand new Birds of Prey ongoing that's using the same lineup as the upcoming movie. I'm kind of pumped for this.
Azzarello knows his way around a comic book. One of some of the best Wonder Woman stories of all time. He's done Batman Damned and other things. And, of course, 100 Bullets, one of my all-time favorite Vertigo series. So, yeah, this could be interesting, too. Some synergy with the movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what that's like. The artwork that we've seen from it so far looks really good. I really liked Emanuela whenever she was she did a couple of things on Green Lanterns with Sam Humphries, and I believe she also did some stuff on Wonder Woman, if I'm remembering correctly. But no, it was Wonder Woman that I'm thinking of. So okay. She is real good. She's somebody that I think's got she's one of those major up and comers. So I'm looking forward to seeing how she does the Birds of Prey.
Well, and that's going to be just a standard DC Universe ongoing, not a Black Label or anything like that.
Yeah, no Black Label. This is just straight up in canon, in the universe. And one of the other we got a few other big announcements coming out of Comic-Con. Like, as we all have learned recently, DC Universe not going to be touched by HBO Max. Warner Brothers is leaving it alone, saying that they're just going to keep it going. Of course, that comes with the asterisk for now. No indications that it's going away, and we just found out that Doom Patrol and Young Justice were both renewed for seasons 2 and 4, respectively. I'm real pumped for both of these things, Todd.
Yeah, Young Justice has been very popular. The Outsiders third series, or season 3, subtitled Young Justice Outsiders, did very well. People are very hyped about it. I have people in my life who are not necessarily hardcore comic book collectors, but who picked up DC Universe subscriptions specifically to watch Young Justice. So that's cool. You're going to get 2 original seasons here on DC Universe, 3 and 4 now, to add to 1 and 2. So they've doubled the lifespan of this show already. Pretty great. Doom Patrol was very popular and well-received critically. Did like what I saw of it, and it's kind of in my stack of things to get to, and now that I know that it's coming back, I definitely will watch it. Critical, and who knows how the ratings did, but well enough to renew. I also heard that that's going to be on HBO Max as well.
That's true. It is going to possibly stream in both places, which I think is interesting. But for me, Doom Patrol was the most fun I had binge watching a show. It is hyper insane, very not for kids. This is an adult series all the way, and man, I couldn't get enough of it. It is absolutely bonkers in all the best possible ways So I highly, highly encourage everybody to go check out Doom Patrol, especially if you like really zany stuff. Like if you were a big fan of the Deadpool movies, yeah, Doom Patrol is right up your alley. You're going to have a lot of fun. And of course, we know that they're currently filming Titans season 2 and had a very unfortunate accident recently during a stunt testing when a stunt performer was killed. And they shut down production for a little while, of course. Everything seems to be headed. Everybody seems to be headed back to work now. But that was a pretty shocking event.
Rumor regarding a September opening or a September return date for Titans. I don't know if that's true or not, or if this accident, tragic accident, will affect the debut of season 2.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it hitting September, maybe. I think November might be a more realistic date for them to come back. They need a little more lead time to get all the post-production stuff done. But we'll see. I mean, the good news there is that we know Titans and Doom Patrol are both coming back, Young Justice as well. So good stuff for everybody who's on the DC Universe app right now, in addition to the ever-expanding comics library that just gets better every single week.
Every week you get at least 24 more comics dropping. I like that they've got it worked out every year. I mean, it's comics from the previous year. 1 year ago this week, they're on there. So we've got a lot of Bendis Superman already on there, the whole Man of Steel series. Lots of stuff. You could read the beginnings of the Snyder Justice League. There are people that are just, and I'm not blaming them because it's a great thing. They're just going to stop picking up paper subscriptions, weekly pull lists, and wait a year and read it on DCU. A year goes by pretty fast, I'm finding.
It does, and people can't see this, but I'm raising my hand. I'm one of these people who is gradually moving away from the printed comic because DCU is going to fulfill all of those needs for me very soon. But one thing that DCU won't have, but HBO Max will, is all the CW shows. And boy, did they have an announcement or two. We knew that Crisis on Infinite Earths was coming, but then they decided to go ahead and drop a few bombs on us at Comic-Con by announcing that Tyler Hoechlin will be back as Superman, but suiting up as another Superman alongside him is Brandon Routh, a.k.a. Clark Kent Kal-El Superman from that Brian Singer movie that none of us really like. But we all really like him. So not only is he suiting up as Superman once again, he teased that he's going to be wearing a different suit that looks a little Alex Rossian. Little Kingdom Come might be happening. So, Todd, I don't know about you, but I was fanboying pretty hard when he did that little shirt reveal.
Yes. Well, I'm about the biggest Kingdom Come fan there is. So, makes sense that Brandon would get that pull and keep the Atom off the table for a while, and he gets to be brought in from the kind of an offshoot of the or reimagining, maybe, Superman Returns, and maybe get some redemption by playing Superman in this new iteration. I like it.
I'm really excited to see two Supermen together on screen at the same time. That's real cool. Man, I hope he does the Grey Temples thing, too. I mean, I feel like if you're going to do Kingdom Come Superman, you gotta.
Yeah.
Really steer into that.
I also heard a rumor that John Kent might be part of this Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, not a rumor. It is confirmed. Lois Lane will be back, and she will have had a kid in her time away after the previous crossover where it was announced that she was pregnant. So now we're going to get the CW Universe debut of Superman Lois's kid, John Kent. Man, what a time to be alive that we're seeing all of this cool stuff happen all at once.
Yes.
I hope Dan Jurgens and Lee Weeks are watching that show whenever it happens to see that one of their creations has been brought to life.
And I got to say, you know, I never dreamed we'd see anything like this. And of course, it's not going to be a direct adaptation of Crisis of On and For the Earths. It can't be. You don't have 50 plus years of TV continuity to draw from. Well, you could. I mean, Noel Neal or whatever. You get the old Adventures of Superman cast on. I don't think anybody's alive. But what you do have is kind of that same concept with the DCCW verse. I'm trying to, the Arrowverse, there it is. And what? We're on 8 years of Arrow. So we've got 8 years of history dipping into these other universes. We saw the Flash last year in the Elseworlds crossover from 1990s of Flash. Why not? Why don't we get Gerard Christopher Superboy? Or there's lots of ways we can go. I mean, I know. Terry Hatcher, who's already under contract to CW, why doesn't she come back as older Lois or Kingdom Come? Yeah. Oh, Kingdom Come Lois is dead. Never mind. Scratch that. But lots of things they could do. I also heard that Burt Ward from Batman 66 has been cast in this, and that boggles my mind.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts that they're going to bring him in. And I was like, they haven't confirmed who he's actually playing. They haven't said anything about that. Please don't suit him up as Robin. Don't do that to poor Burt. Don't do that to him.
Uncle Robin.
Let's not do that. Now, I would buy him, though, as like Commissioner Dick Grayson or Mayor of Gotham City Dick Grayson, something like that. Like, I might buy that if he's still going to be playing that character. If not, you know, we'll just wait and see. We'll see who he's going to be playing as more is being announced. And, of course, there are a lot of rumors out there that are still floating around because ever since this whole thing was mentioned, people have been saying that Tom Welling was coming in, that Michael Rosenbaum was going to come back, that Dean Cain was coming back in as well. And none of that has actually been confirmed. The only stuff that's been confirmed is the stuff that we just told you about. Like those things are for sure happening. But
I did read something today about Tom Cavanaugh being pariah as opposed to a Wells, or he was a Wells as the classic character pariah from Crisis on Infinite Earths, who's doomed to witness each universe as it dies.
Now, I'm absolutely down with that. If that happens, I would love that. It would be awesome. And as is the case, every time they do one of these crossovers, they manage to keep something under wraps that you don't know is going to happen until the episode has aired. So I am fully expecting some big surprises in the episodes themselves. And it's a 5-hour event, so this is going to be a long one that's going to stretch over the mid-season break. So, oh, God, that's going to like emotionally wreck a few of us, I think.
And, having to Arrow is ending and leading into Crisis. And I read today that they're segmenting the Flash this year to be pre-Crisis and post-Crisis with kind of a graphic novel format where you're going to have not a season-long arc, but two different season-long arcs before Crisis and after Crisis.
That makes sense. Since, you know, the universe that they're inhabiting, you have to imagine it's going to completely change after Crisis on Infinite Earths is over. I mean, you don't do that story and not just completely upend everything in your universe. You kind of have to. That was the point of that story. It was to consolidate things. So I'm imagining that history may get rewritten a bit on these Earths.
Now, if we can have more frequent crossovers and not be contrived switching universe crossovers, I'm all for it. That was the end result of Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I hope we see something like regular crossovers where, say, John Diggle shows up on Batwoman or what have you. I mean, we've had some Arrow and Flash took place on the same Earth. Everything else has been on different Earths, so we will see. Well, and Legends of Tomorrow is the same Earth, but with different timelines. I'm excited. DCCW is my jam.
Oh yeah, very, very much so. Like right now, that is the version of the DC universe that we all love. That everybody has found something to truly fall in love with and to just stick with. I got no real complaints. Arrow has been killing it lately, and of course, Arrow damn near killed Nick Duke's sinuses this week as the announcement of the return of Tommy Merlin officially happened. So. You know, hoping he gets better soon. Nah, he says he only took it to about a 2.
I want Mountain Merlin back myself.
I do too. I do too. I would love to see that happen. Oh, now I love Tommy. I can't knock anything there, but I do love me some Malcolm Merlin. He has been missed from this show too. But you know what? It's Crisis on Infinite Earths. I think this is an all hands on deck situation. You got to get everybody back, man. What if they get Man Al Bennett coming back, giving us one more shot of Deathstroke
too?
Oh God, I'm gonna lose my shit. But speaking of which, some other younger generations or younger generation of fan definitely lost their shit this week as one of their favorite shows was announced to be getting a big Blu-ray remaster, and that is Batman Beyond. Along with the Batman Beyond movie, Return of the Joker, coming in October on Blu-ray. Going to get the big HD treatment like its sister show, Batman the Animated Series, did. I believe it was last year whenever that happened. So yes. October this year, Batman Beyond getting the big treatment. But you can already watch Batman Beyond on DC Universe. It's just not in HD yet, but DCU decided to tweet out that starting on August 23rd, season 1 is going to be fully remastered in HD, and I think that likely means that the rest of it will be soon to follow.
Yes.
So if you're,
I'm not the biggest fan, but it is still the Bruce, Tim, and Paul Dini universe, and a very different thing that wasn't tied to any established continuity. I loved that you got to go a lot of different places, play with a lot of pieces of the Batman, and you get a very different Bruce Wayne on that show. So yeah, Terry and Bruce are back. Looking forward to seeing Batman Beyond in full clarity on my 65-inch 4K.
your big 65-inch, sir?
Wall-mounted. Ouch.
Oh, that's the way to do it, though, so everyone can just revel in its majesty. Now, speaking of reveling in the majesty, what did you think of that trailer for the Harley Quinn animated series?
That was goofy as shit, but I liked it. It was a different animation style than I expected, a little rougher. Almost, I don't want to say Fritz the Cat or a 70s kind of feel to it, but it was very different. And I saw some of the cast. The gal they have playing Harley is quite a unique individual herself. So I'm looking forward to maybe checking out the pilot when it drops and seeing if it is as batshit crazy as it looks from the trailer. It looked much funnier than I expected, too.
Same. Like I really liked the little teaser they did. I think it was last Comic-Con. They actually dropped a small tease of just Harley and Poison Ivy. But this was like full footage from the show. Like you were seeing what you were really going to be in for. And man, I love that this is an adult animated series and that they make no bones about that. This is they're just really going for it. They're like, let's make a Harley Quinn series and make it as batshit crazy as we can. And I can't wait for Diedrich Bader to be reprising his role as Batman.
Yes, from Brave and the Bold. Great Batman.
Yeah. He is playing that kind of version of Batman. And from what we understand from the creators of the show is that Superman will also be on the show occasionally. And we'll be making dad jokes because that's the version of Superman they're going to be playing. And I was thinking, man, this is like the kind of thing that could really get a lot more people to give Superman a chance, just like they did with Aquaman, thanks to Brave and the Bold.
Yes, great iteration of the character on that show.
So I'm hoping, and there's a version of Aquaman coming to this show. We don't know what that's going to be like, but I'm hoping he's very Brave and the Bold-esque. He was in the trailer a few times, so I'm excited
That's
to
true.
See what
yeah,
all
he
they
had
do.
The long hair, the long kind of crown of blonde hair, like a blonde Momoa look, but it was different.
Yes.
And the beard.
Yes. All of that looks like fun. I'm very excited to see what they do going forward. But as tends to be the case when it comes to Comic-Con, we get all this really cool stuff happening, all these fun things going down. But then we get one thing that's maybe not so great. And I know this is probably a polarizing thing because I've seen a lot of people who actually really liked this thing. But I really hated that Watchmen trailer. HBO's Damon Lindelof Watchmen show. That was... It weren't good, Todd. It weren't good.
Well, I was out until Jeremy Irons showed up. And then I went, Vince McMahon gif. But we will see. I mean, Lindelof erased some of the issues I had with his storytelling with the excellent Leftovers. And Tim and I have been singing its praises for a while, but the Leftovers is as good as advertised. And I understand being burned by Lost. I think it's a more complicated situation than some people give it. And I'm going to defend Lost until I die, darn it, because I'm a Dharma dummy, for lack of a better term. And I have my jumpsuit. I have my Dharma labels on everything. I was recently on Oahu, and I marked out when I went to a location that they used in filming of Lost, and I recognized it. So that was pretty awesome. But yeah. Lindelof has earned a little bit of benefit of doubt from me. However, that was kind of a hard trailer to follow. I didn't really enjoy much of what I saw, but when Iron showed up, I went, okay, we'll see what's going on here. However, we're reading Doomsday Clock. And that's Watchmen that's more palatable for me, post-Watchmen yes. world. So why do we need to have two after-Watchmens existing at the same time?
You know, that is a fine question, especially when one is, like, very, very good, but unfortunately doesn't seem to ever come out on time. And one is, I don't know about this. But,
yeah.
I'm still going to watch the first episode, at least. I'm not going to just, write it off because of one bad trailer. I will still check this show out. Who knows? Maybe it'll suck me in. Maybe they just don't know how to cut a good trailer. And I can't say anything about defending shows that other people absolutely hate. I'm not going to even – don't even get me started on How I Met Your Mother and how much I still love that show, including its final episode. Game of Thrones. That's another one that I seem to be in disagreement with the vast majority of fans on. But that said, Lost ain't one of my shows that I'm on defend. I got through that one. I was like, nope.
Well, one of these days we'll do a What Went Wrong with Lost cast. If I can get somebody to give it a fair shake and talk about it with me. But yes, we all love things that
That's
not everybody else loves.
That's a Binge Please episode if I ever heard one.
Yeah, probably so. Boy, I wish I had more time for Binge Please. However, moving on, to my time issues notwithstanding, we have been reading and watching. What have you been reading? Oh, shoot, I just stole that gimmick.
That's okay, they're not using it.
Reading some comics lately. Of course, I've been doing a lot of reading for our sister show, not our sister show, but our network show, Marvel Age. So DC has a stack of comics that I have not gotten to just yet. I don't think I'm current on anything other than Doomsday Clock. Been really looking forward to getting some TV time with my DCU app and reading some comics that way. But time goes fast. And then there's something else I want to read. So what have you been reading?
Man, Marvel Age does keep me busy when it comes to the reading. Thanks for those 21 books we have to read, Tim. No, I'm actually really looking forward to most of that because it sounds like fun. But I caught up on a few things for the month of July. I am still not through like all of my books, but that's how it tends to go because I'm like you, Todd. I have trouble finding the time to really sit down and just read all this stuff that I'm buying. But I did pick up a couple of issues that I managed to read that were absolutely fantastic. I read the final issue of this quote unquote season of Naomi. It wrapped up in a big bad way, fully immersing her in the wider DC universe. I am so loving this series, this new character. She is great. She is one of Brian Bendis's and David Walker's like best creations. Jamal Campbell's art is just mind-blowingly good. I'm trying to resist real hard not just buying the next season of that when it happens, but now that we've gotten through her origin story, which was real freaking good, I am looking forward to her joining up with Young Justice. And of course, she's going to appear in Action Comics here pretty soon, so that's going to be good stuff.
Yeah, anytime there's a new character brought into the fold that has some traction, I'm all for it. And I read the first, I believe, 5 issues of Naomi through the origin reveal, and just I have 1 or 2 to go. I believe just 1 to go, and it was great.
Yeah, it's just 6.
But I've subscribed to all the Wonder Comics so far to this point. They're just in my stack. I even heard very good things about the most recent Dial H. So
that is one that I kind of wish I had kept going with. I read the first issue and really liked it, but it was one of those things where I'm justifying, you know, adding another series.
Right.
But
that'll be on DCU eventually. And again, time flies.
Yeah, it won't be long before all those Wonder Comics stuff is going to be on DCU, and Dial H will be near the top of my reading list, because anything that's being shepherded by Bendis at DC right now is pretty much good stuff. I've been singing the praises of his Superman and Action Comics for a while, but just before we got on this episode, I read Event Leviathan number 2. Man, Bendis knows how to write a good mystery. And that's exactly what this book is. It has the word event in the title, and I think that can kind of like turn some people off because they're like, oh God, not another event book. And this one, though, is like the anti-event because there's no like big bombastic stuff happening. This is all very much a detective story mystery, and they're laying out clues that if you're one of those people that's ever read like detective novels, you know what to look for, and you start picking out these little things and start trying to put the puzzle together yourself. And it's very much a crime mystery where you're getting all the little evidence pieces put out there for you to try and solve it. It is brilliantly done. And Brian Bendis writes a one hell of a Batman, but I think after this issue, I want him writing a Plastic Man series.
Hmm.
He writes that character so well. He is cracking just some of the best jokes. Like it comes out of nowhere at first, and then I'm just like, my sides are hurting from laughing. Something I didn't expect in this kind of like very serious tone type of book. But here comes old Eel to like clock me over the head with a really great one-liner or two, and I'm just all in for it. I love what's happening with Event Leviathan right now.
Excellent. I'm a big fan of Bendis when he gets funny. Some of the stuff he did in the Ultimate Universe, Ultimate Spider-Man particularly, I did laugh out loud. I could remember a line where Peter Parker said bad poops that I just lost my shit.
and so did he.
Well, no, he was explaining to Aunt May why he was changing his clothes, you know, why it was taking so long to change his clothes. And I wasn't expecting it. It got me good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading Event Leviathan. Plastic Man has a, shall we say, increased profile here of late. Gail Simone, miniseries a couple months back, and a member of the Terrifics as well.
Yes, and I read that Gail Simone series. It was very good as well. She writes a great Plastic Man. And when Jeff Lemire was doing the Terrifics, that was a really good book. One of the best to spin out of Metal. So Plastic Man's profile has definitely gone up, and I think Event Leviathan is only going to increase that because he's just so good in this book. But there's a lot of stuff going on with DC right now that that I think we should talk about. The Heart Traveling Fanboys already talked about the Tales from the Dark Multiverse stories that are coming.
Yeah.
The
Nightfall Redux, and what was the
Death
Superman?
Of Superman.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff.
Both of those look really great. Both of those are coming out in October. And one thing that is also happening in October, something that I think we may have mentioned already, certainly was mentioned on HGF as well, was the Hellblazer, John Constantine, joining the Sandman universe over on DC Black Label. And that's going to be written by Cy Spurrier. I think a lot of people are very excited about that happening.
Yes. Yeah, and he's a guy who's familiar with Books of Magic and those series, so that'll be good stuff. I like it when Constantine is allowed to say the F word, so that's a good thing. And he was in the recent Batman Damned series as well. What does this mean for Justice League Dark? I don't know, but it seems that some of our fears about Vertigo going away have been alleviated with some of these solicitations from Black Label.
Absolutely. Black Label continues to expand and become everything that it's trying to become, everything that Vertigo used to be, from what I'm seeing. So if you were worried about, you know, the content, you know, more so than the name Vertigo, I don't think there's a thing to worry about. Lots of good stuff coming from them. And speaking of like crazy things that sound like they should be in Black Label but aren't, the Batman's Grave from Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch launching on October 9th, a 12-issue maxi series reuniting the Authority team together.
Authority, yeah. Authority is one of my all-time favorite books, particularly the team of Ellis and Hitch. I did like the Mark Miller issues with Frank Quitely as well, but Warren Ellis can write. He's one of my all-time favorite writers, very cerebral dude. And to see him get a long-term, well, at least a maxi series of Batman, that's going to be very focused, brainy stuff. I can't wait. Nick and Greg talked about the concept a little bit on last week's HTF, and I'm definitely picking that one up. I cannot wait, and I want to support projects like this, so I'll be buying that fresh from the shop. It'll give me a reason to get out of the house.
Now, that is one that I will be very curious to read. I'll probably DCU wait that one as well. But that creative team, like I don't know how you can possibly go wrong with it. It looks absolutely fantastic. There's all sorts of other stuff happening over on for DC in the month of October. I think I was looking to see if that new question series from Jeff Lemire was going to be launching that month.
Joker series with Sorrentino is dropping, and that's going to be – I mean, there's about 15 Joker books going on right now, and we haven't even gotten to the Three Jokers book that Jeff Johns teased us with 4 or 5 years ago, but – Yeah, there are a lot of prestige Joker projects because, well, there's a Joker movie coming out this fall.
Yeah, very much so. And before we kind of close, or before I close it out for the stuff that is grabbing my attention in October, one other book that I read from July that I think everybody needs to go out and try out is the new Lois Lane book from Greg Rucka and Mike Perkins. That book was tremendous. I read the first issue of it yesterday. Mind-blowingly good. It is very, of course, focused on Lois Lane, intrepid investigative reporter, and showing you why she is as good as she is. If you're a fan of good detective stories, if you're a fan of, say, the old Jessica Jones series, it kind of gives me some Jessica Jones vibes at times. You'll definitely want to check this one out, and I don't want to spoil that last page, but I'll say this. If you are a Greg Rucka fan, a Greg Rucka from DC Comics fan from a little ways back, the last little bit of this issue is going to pop you real hard.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're going to pop real hard whenever you get the implications of what it means.
I have a suspicion of where you're leaning, but I won't speak out of turn.
I'll tell you off air if you want to know. But no, I'm not gonna spoil it.
I'll check it out.
Good.
I've heard good things about the new Jimmy Olsen series by Matt Fraction as well, but I have not read it yet.
Same. I read the preview of that, and I got exactly why people like this series. I just don't think it's going to be for me.
Gotcha.
I think it's one of those books that's like, yeah, this might read better in a collected edition. I might actually wind up enjoying this in the long run. But I don't feel the urgency to go out and read it.
Yeah, it comes off almost like a Young Animal solicitation.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting from it. I was like, this is probably not for me. I'll probably read it eventually. But at least when it comes to these two spinoff series from Event Leviathan, Lois Lane hit real big with me. So I'm very pleased with that. Can't say enough good things about it. So yeah, if I were to recommend any one book right now, I would say go get that Lois Lane number one. It's a great issue.
Well, I'm still loving Deceased. So good stuff with that. And apparently that's coming to an end in October, that run, and they've solicited the collection for that already. So we will see how that turns out. It's been more than just DC Zombies. It's been pretty much the ultimate I'm going to say it's Elseworlds because it feels like Elseworlds to me.
That's
Tale of Survival.
I mean, that's what this whole Tales from the Dark Multiverse feels like to me. Is DC has given themselves an opportunity to create a new Elseworlds. We can just keep doing these stories from the Dark Multiverse as these prestige format one shots.
And it's infinite. You can just go forever and ever.
Yeah. It's like, it's whatever stories anybody can come up with. You can do all of this cool stuff with any of these characters, really. Like, any of these classic stories can be revisited and told in a different way. Man, how awesome would it be to retell Final Crisis in a way that doesn't suck? That's something that I would like to see. Or maybe a world where Hal Jordan never became Parallax.
Boss Darkseid is.
Give that one to Tom King, let him write it, and people will be just as confused.
What if Kyle Rayner didn't have a refrigerated girlfriend?
What if Kyle Rayner was just never Green Lantern?
No. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to say, if you have the opportunity, Judd Winnick wrote a very good, and I'm going to shout out to Ben, who champions this series as well. Judd Winnick's time on the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern was very good 90s comics. That's the best way I can say it. But yes, Hal's the best Green Lantern, of course. But the Kyle stories were okay for what they were at the time, honestly. They really were.
I mean, I believe you. I will probably go and check. That's on DCU. I can go check that out. One other thing that I would throw out there just to pop you and Ben both, what if Wally West never stopped being Flash? What if Barry Allen never came back to life? You know, redo the end of Final Crisis so that Wally is always there. Or maybe Wally just doesn't disappear after Flashpoint. That would have been something. But anyway, we could go on and on and on and on with that. And I'm sure that could be a fun topic to revisit later. But that's going to wrap up our San Diego Comic-Con coverage for this month's current events. It was another good month. We celebrated Superman all month long. Hope everybody enjoyed that. Next week is going to be our break week. We are going to have we're actually telling you that we will not be back next Thursday. But the following Thursday after that, that would be August 8th, I believe. Yes. We will be back kicking off Justice League month. All of August is going to be dedicated to DC's premier super team. We've got an hour long, or probably a little better than an hour long special coming up, where we take a look at Todd and I's favorite Justice League stories, writers and artists. And we're also going to have a conversation about that Zack Snyder, Joss Whedon joint, and a frank discussion about the whole hashtag release the Snyder Cut, folks. So you're not going to want to miss that one. It's going to be a good time. And of course, we're going to have some other episodes in the month, looking at some classic Justice League, looking at some another little fun ditty over on DCU. And then, of course, we will be back for another current events at the end of August. So with that, Todd, I think it's time to say good night, and we will see you all next time.
DC for you.
DC for you.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. And we want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey there, DC for You listeners. It is me, the manager, Todd Weber. I'm here to talk about everything going on at PlaceToBeNation.com, Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed Podcasts, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed Podcasts, The Sarcastic Four. Speaking of the pop feed, here we're talking about Place to Be Nation Pop Podcasts, The Sarcastic Four. Yes, them. That is me, Tim Capel, Russell Sellers, who you just heard on this show, and Nick Duke. We continue our look at 1971 with the third of our three-part episode of Marvel Age. We are plowing through the 70s. We are going to catch, I don't know, we're going to get through 1973 by the end of this calendar year, we hope. On the ninth episode of Laughing Theater, Andy is joined by the 40-year-old virgin himself, J. Arsenio D'Amato, to do a live watch of that movie. On the 31st episode of Songs with Friends with Benefits, Steve and Kelly talk about Gin Blossoms and DMX. Hard Traveling Fanboys continue Spider-Man Month with a look back at the 2002 Sam Raimi-directed Spider-Man film. Norman Osborn, played by Willem Dafoe. Crazy, man. Last week, this show, DC for You, we talked about Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, and Terry Hatcher, good lord, Hatcher Matcher. Pop goes the movies, and the movies go pop when Andy and Jennifer break down Spider-Man Far From Home, the recent MCU offering. Then they looked at the future of the MCU as revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. Glenn Butler and Alana, I don't know Alana's last name, but they're back with a new spectacular, intentionally pronounced that way, review of Stranger Things Season 3. I loved it. I don't know if everybody did, but I did. It's kind of my jam. Great debate That's a show where people say things they like and then let them stand. Nobody argues or tries to change minds and just say, this is my opinion. Let's hear yours. Found host Andy Atherton joined by Nick Duke, Jordan Duncan, and Scott Criscolo talking about lots of things, sports, pop culture, Batman, what have you. Jason Sherman, Andrew Helene paid tribute to the rock and alternative albums of 1994 in a special edition podcast. Speaking of 1994, on our website, Place to Be Nation's tribute to 1994 is up and running. We had a piece on Woodstock 94. JT looks back at Bob Backlund challenging Bret Hart on Superstars back in 1994. Wow. Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament is the thing where we have almost 600 songs pitted head-to-head. We are winding our way down. We will get through it by the time Sarcastic Four gets to 1973, I think. Six polls a day posted. You can get in on it by liking and searching for on Facebook. Facebook is the thing you may have heard of. Place to Be Nation, PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament. Like the page, we have six daily polls. Over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, Ben and welcomes indie wrestler Jaden Newman to his show, Row 1, Seat 1. We also had a same-night review of Extreme Rules 2019 WWE podcast, WWE pay-per-view. No Holds Barred is back. Aaron and JT return with a greatest WWE wrestler, greatest WWE project, pay-per-view, TV match, ever focused episode. That's a good show. Aaron and JT, good friends from America and Canada. I'm tired. In the latest episode of the Place to Be Nation podcast, that self-same JT Rosero and Scott Criscolo had Tim Slomka on, and they talked about WWF MSG House Show from October 1989. I have never been to New York, nor have I attended a show at Madison Square Garden. It is on my bucket list. We also had a brand new episode, actually a brand new show. We had a pilot episode for this brand new show. It's an ECW-focused podcast. It's entitled PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance. Hosts JT Rosero, there's that name again. Jennifer Smith, there's that name again. And John D'Amato, there's that name again. They review the concept of the show and what's to come. We have on Place to Be Nation, there's something great every Wednesday. It's the weekly walk around the World Wide Web. It's where Glenn Butler puts a bunch of links up. And they're all kind of interesting, so it's a great way to spend time during work if you just are there and you're waiting for the next project to finish. Check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get yourself in on the conversation today. Start researching your lists. Weber out.